News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
At least 70 people were killed and dozens wounded in Israeli airstrikes across Gaza after Israel resumed its bombing campaign on the enclave. They have also said that their forces have resumed some ground operations in central and southern Gaza. And for more on this, I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, and Olga Shcherbakova, spokesperson for the UN Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Alistair, if I could come to you first of all, tell us the situation currently on the ground.
Well, busy 24 hours, more airstrikes overnight, as you were just saying, 70 reported dead by the Palestinian Ministry of Health, so very heavy airstrikes overnight. Late yesterday afternoon, Israel said that it was beginning what it describes as a limited ground operation in the center and south of the Gaza Strip. I would say what begins, you know, I think what begins as something that's limited could quite quickly spread into something larger scale. And the defense minister, Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, warned Gazans that if they don't, well, if they don't basically overthrow Hamas, was his warning, then the whole of Gaza would be demolished. So Israel, despite really, I mean, opposition from a lot of its allies. I noticed yesterday Emmanuel Macron was critical of the renewed operations, Keir Starmer as well. I mean, really, they've only got the White House currently in their corner, but they're determined to not just continue the fighting, but by the looks of things, escalate it.
There are some analysts who would suggest that what Netanyahu do is he's pandering to domestic politics rather than doing anything to secure the release. And indeed, some people consider he's signing the death warrant for the hostages. What do you make of that, Alistair?
Well, look, here is the kind of here's the theory, if you like, which is certainly a pretty popular one in Israel. Netanyahu has a number of problems. One is passing a budget. And when a budget doesn't pass, then his government is at threat. And so to get the numbers to pass the budget, he's restarted the conflict, which has brought Itamar Ben-Gvir, the far right minister, mm-hmm. back into government, and lo and behold, he has the numbers now past the budget. So kind of that's one theory. Another theory, and you know, maybe they're all linked, is that, you know, he's facing a lot of pressure from the court cases that are going on, continuing against him, which means that if he resumes the fighting, he can argue to the court that they should no longer sit for the time being. And you know, there's a lot of Israelis who believe this is being done for Netanyahu's own personal political survival. I mean, impossible to prove, but it is certainly a theory.
It is, you know, questionable whether or not there's a conflict of interest here, that Benjamin Netanyahu's own fate and his actions within this military conflict are interlinked in a way that is not wholly ethical.
Well, he is the one leader, political or security, who's refused to take responsibility for October the 7th. He hasn't apologized. Yesterday, an attempt by the opposition to force a state commission of inquiry, i.e. a massive public inquiry, separate from government, into what happened on October 7th. Well, that was defeated by the government. And Netanyahu is trying to, and he'll tonight, the cabinet will meet, to try and sack Ronen Bar, who is the head of the Shin Bet, Israel's domestic intelligence agency. That, people believe, is because Shin Bet is looking into links between Qatar and senior aides in Netanyahu's office, and that the net is closing in. And so Netanyahu wants to get rid of the head of the Shin Bet and replace him with someone more favorable to the prime minister. So, you know, in a nutshell, the resumption of this war and other things that have gone on over the last 48, 72 hours have led a lot of people in Israel to believe that Netanyahu is acting out of personal interest, not out of the interest of the hostages or the future security of Israel.
Look, thank you very much for that analysis there. That is Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. And as I said, for more on this now, we're joined by Olga Shcherbakova, spokesperson for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Olga, how desperate is the situation currently in Gaza?
Good morning, Ciara. The situation in Gaza is desperate and getting more desperate by the hour, I would say. I think we are running out of adjectives to describe just how desperate it is becoming. Of course, the attacks are continuing. We continue to receive reports of mass casualties. Hospitals are overwhelmed. They're running out of blood. They're running out of medicines. It is really just an absolutely untenable situation. And of course, this massive displacements are happening as a result of the hostilities, as well as the evacuation orders that are being issued. According to some of our estimates, as many as almost 69,000 people have been displaced as of yesterday.
That's just in the last sort of 24, 48 hours.
In the last couple of days since the first evacuation orders were issued, I guess, 3 days ago. This obviously comes on top of the crossings being closed now for nearly 3 weeks. Nothing is entering Gaza. We are in desperate need for ambulance spare parts and obviously all of the supplies that we are that are waiting to enter. So it's very, very serious.
Yeah. Obviously, shortages of food, water, medical supplies. How long, in your view, can hospitals function in these current circumstances? Obviously, energy and power and all of that are now up in the air.
Yeah, we are we're trying to make sure that everything can function for as long as it possibly can. We're stretching the supplies for as much as we can by cutting some of the rations, by reducing the usage and trying to reach as many people as possible. But it's hard to know because we're constantly reprioritizing and trying to make it stretch longer. We cannot make it stretch forever. So it's imperative that the crossings reopen immediately.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that this morning. That is Olga Sharevko, who is a spokesperson for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. I actually heard, Shane, yesterday, Irish trauma surgeon Morgan McGonagall, who I was actually in college with, who has been into Gaza trying to perform operations, trying to save lives, and describing it as an absolute hellscape for people there. Really, really shocking stuff.
What is happening in Gaza is monstrous. Yeah. There's no other Dreadful. Term for it.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.